Okay, let's move, if there's no objection, to item number 190, because we've got folks here that might not be able to stay. So could you read that?
Thank you, Mayor.
190, accept report on new surplus property policy for our utility bureaus.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor, very much for your courtesy. I want to bring forth David Schaff, the director of the Water Bureau, and Eli Callison, the Bureau of Environmental Services property manager. We have a brief report to council this morning on the new surplus property policy of both the Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services. And by way of context, a couple years ago, we learned about a surplus Water Bureau property in Southwest Portland, the now infamous Freeman Tank property, which was being sold to a private developer. Neighbors objected to the sale of the property and to the citywide surplus property policy that allowed the sale to go forward with what they viewed as inadequate public notice. After reviewing the contract of sale for the property, the city attorney advised me that we had no choice but to honor the contract and to move forward. However, in conversations with the community and other stakeholders, we concluded that the policy needed to be updated and strengthened. So I asked both bureaus to work with the community to find improvements to the policies with the primary goal of expanding community notice and building in reasonable time limits for people to participate in the process. Today, we're going to do three things. First, briefly share an overview of the new policy with council and preview some upcoming properties that will be coming to you for surplus designation. Second, give you a sense of how this new policy has been working. And third, to seek your feedback for today and in the future for further modifications. I want to take a moment at the outset to thank the Multnomah Neighborhood Association in particular for their partnership. David and I visited them last summer to present some of the draft improvements. They had, as you might imagine, a plethora of very thoughtful and constructive suggestions from that draft, which we incorporated into the current policy, which we consider a pilot process, surplus property policy. I want to turn it over to David Schaff, who will make a brief presentation, then to Eli, and then we will recognize Moses Ross, who's here to give the community's perspective. David?
Okay. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau, and I'm going to do a very quick outline of the actual policy itself, which is on our website, and then I will do a very quick tour of the website that went live yesterday, and then I'll turn it over to Eli. As Commissioner Fish noted, clearly, the Freeman Tank sales process did not work very well from the perspective of public process and information and communication and notice. And that's basically what this new policy does. So the first big step after the Bureau has decided that a piece of property is surplus and the commissioner has evaluated that and agrees with the recommendation is that we, the bureaus, will notify other city bureaus that a piece of property is surplus, not necessary for that bureau's operations, and is available to other cities for acquisition. One of the important things that we noted with the Multnomah Neighborhood Association is that we're going to ask those bureaus that we communicate with to respond back in writing regarding their interest, and that we will keep those. There is a Scrivener's error in the policy, and number four, we left out the verb in a sentence. Each city bureau will be asked to respond. We left out the asked in there.
I believe there's another Scrivener's error, because I know that the policy is to also notify the council offices that we get notified so that we can make sure that our bureaus respond. So
I think we think of you as a city bureau,
we'd be happy to put that.
You could clarify that. That would be great.
You thought you could preempt Commissioner Fritz in pointing out Scrivener errors if you brought it to the table first. I think that was misguided.
Once we have done that, we will do a number of things that are intended to be simultaneous in nature. We're going to notify public agencies. So the bureaus will have 10 days, and they can ask us for more time if they need it to determine whether or not they have a property, whether or not they would like to consider that property. Once we've gone through that process, we will be notifying a number of public entities, Metro, the county that the property is located in, the state of Oregon, ODOT, mm-hmm. Rail Division, if it meets certain criteria for being near a railroad, as well as then the neighborhood coalitions, the neighborhood associations, the business associations in the area where the property is located. We'll list it on our surplus property website. Now, we've already gone ahead and done that. We have 22 properties that we've identified as properties that we no longer need for purposes of running our operation. So all 22 of them are on this website now, so that people can be looking at them and they can know that it is our intent to eventually dispose of them. We will also then place an informational sign on the property. It doesn't say for sale. It'll be a notice, much like what you see in land use type of notifications, that says that it is the city's intent or the bureau's intent to dispose of this property. And that will be posted for a minimum period of time, 45 days. And if a neighborhood association is interested in having that posted longer, we have indicated that we are prepared to post it for a longer period of time, up to an additional 45 days. We'll also put a printed notice or advertisement in at least one of the community newspapers that reach residents in the area. After that informational sign has been posted for the requisite period of time and there is no public agency that expressed an interest in acquiring the property, will come to you with a non-emergency ordinance on the regular council agenda to have that piece of property declared surplus. And there are a number of things that we will be including in that ordinance. Once the ordinance has once the council has passed that ordinance, then we'll proceed to sell the property. But there are a couple of limitations that we've agreed to there. We'll update our surplus property website. We'll place this time a for sale sign as opposed to a public notice sign. We will not accept, it'll be up for at least a minimum of 30 days, and we will not accept any offers for the property for at least that period of time. We will list it on the RMLS website and other websites if appropriate. And then we will proceed to sell the property. That's in general the pilot process. There are a couple of pieces of property, and I will preview one or two of them that it may not make any sense to do that with. And I have a couple of examples where they are. We have little slices of property that are surrounded by other owners, and there is absolutely nothing you could do with that piece of property. So I'll give you a good example in a minute. So let me walk you through our website. We have a link on our front page. Actually, I'm going to go to the front page, and you can see over in the features it says Water Bureau Surplus Property. And then go to our website, and it's basically a general information page, but I want to point out a couple of things. We have a link to the process that I just outlined, and we've identified them in various stages. Then we have another link that ask for feedback. This is an email that will go directly to the property manager and our webmaster. So if somebody has something that they want to suggest or a question that they want to direct to us, they can use that process. We have an automatic notification process and a link to that. I have signed up for this so that I can make sure it's working, and I got a link today because one of those little slices of property that I was just talking about got put up on the website yesterday. And then
you can sign up for these notifications, and you can also sign up for monthly billing.
Yeah, yes, you can. Not in the same link, though. We have links to both the BIPs, the City of Portland OMF website, and Bureau of Environmental Services. And then we have links on the actual properties. So, for instance, I'm going to go to the particular property that I was talking about. if you look at that, you see that little yellow slice is a little piece of property that apparently we own. That's relatively new news to us. It's a slice of property right in the middle of the parking lot of the Skyline Tavern. And it's surrounded by asphalt or a road. In all likelihood, we're going to quit claim this to the owners of the Skyline Tavern, who are interested in selling their property, and that's a cloud on their title. So that's just an example of something where we probably wouldn't follow that process. Mm-hmm. There are a number of properties on here, and I'll pull up one. The tennis court tank, which are properties that you all had declared surplus back in 2010. There are seven properties total that you declared surplus in 2010 that we are going to go through this process over again so that we make sure that people know here's the notice. This is our intent. We go back and talk to the various bureaus. I picked this example deliberately because originally in 2010, all of the bureaus, when we inquired, said, no, we are not interested in acquiring this property. The Parks Bureau has expressed an interest now in potentially acquiring this piece of property. So we're going to go through this entire process all over again with all of the properties that we'd originally declared surplus in 2010. So I think that will give you a general tour of the website. As I said, everything that we currently own that we do not believe we have any reason to continue owning is on that list. So it's 22 properties right now. And as things change, as we dispose of those, we'll remove them. And as we identify other properties that perhaps we don't need, we will put those on the website. And then I'm going to link to the BES one and turn it over to Eli.
Quick question.
Eli?
Yes. Quick question before you do, because it's water related, and that is don't need a detailed engineering explanation now, but actually when you look at that slideshow, there's kind of a shocking number of tanks that you're selling. So I assume that because of the construction of new tanks, particularly on Kelly Butte and Powell Butte, you don't need those in the system anymore, and you can maintain fire flow and pressure without them? Is that what's going on?
Yes, Mayor. Most of these, a fair number of these tanks actually have never been connected to the system, so I picked Richland Tank. That's from the old Richland Water District that was annexed 30 years ago. We've owned this property that length of time and have never connected this particular property to the system.
Okay, so they're left over from water districts in a lot of cases, and that makes sense. Just wanted to make sure that the water was still going to be there when the Fire Bureau needed it. So.
Good question.
And when we come to council on any surplus designation, we'll want to have those kinds of robust discussions about are we being prudent in declaring surplus? Might there be someday a backup need of some kind,
right,
but that
right.
ultimately is the council's decision.
Great. Good morning,
Eli. David. Eli?
Right. So I just want to run you quickly through a couple of the properties that BES has taken partially through this surplus process. But before I get into that, I kind of want to put a caveat on that. I've been the BES property manager now for 3 months, so I've not been with these properties through every step of the way. But I'm going to give you a little bit of kind of the our experience as we deal with this. We have two parcels. And contrary to Water Bureau, ours are more of an industrial area. The two parcels we currently have out were acquired as part of the CSO project. So we have a 15-acre site right on the Willamette zone, heavy industrial, and then adjacent to that, around 22nd and NATO, we have about a 3/4-acre site, also zoned industrial. Both of these properties were, like I said, taken through this process. The public notification was put up last May. We did not receive any feedback from the public on any of these properties with regards to any concerns. Pretty much all the feedback has been, as soon as the posting went up, people wanted to buy it, well before we were at the spot where we could go through that. Both of these were placed surplus back in August, and since then we're kind of, at this point, just getting the final engineering done to preserve the sewer infrastructure that we have underneath these sites, at which point we will be ready to post the sites for sale, and we'll be waiting the 30 days to acquire them. Kind of briefly, as David mentioned, BES and Water have gone back and forth on this process. BES had some concerns initially about the length of time, particularly with regards to a business interest of being able to time a property sale with the market. But with the addition to the public notice either being extended instead of having an additional length, we're pretty happy with where it's at, and we think that the process is enough to allow the public to have the input, and then it can be extended as needed. But in the more residential areas, it makes a lot more sense to have that length of time.
Mayor, before we invite up Moses Ross, just want to comment that when you asked me to lead both bureaus, part of our conversation was to find ways of creating uniform systems and policies. So this and the first evidence of that was the joint CIP presentation, the fall of your first year, where we did it apples to apples, and both bureaus used the same format. And I remember Commissioner Saltzman expressing to me the view that it was easier to follow when you had both bureaus presenting the information in the same manner. This is another example of both bureaus getting together, coming up with a uniform policy with websites that have the same information and the same format. And because this is a pilot, we'll be soliciting on an ongoing basis feedback. And if you have suggestions for how to improve both the presentation and the policy, we'll continue to refine it. But it's again, it's an example of the two bureaus working at a very high level together to try to get this right. So I appreciate both of their work. And if you don't mind, I know we're backed up at council. I thought maybe we'd have Moses Ross come up.
Please.
He was our indispensable community partner.
Yep.
And we've asked him to say a few words, and then we can take some questions.
Okay, great.
Why don't you guys stick around, and we'll... Yep.
Good morning, Moses.
Good morning. Thank you very much for this invitation. Upon reviewing the website and reviewing the detail that you have presented on all of those properties, I found myself thinking back to when this issue first came to my attention at the Multnomah Neighborhood Association and the residents that were living around the Freeman Water Tower had just heard about this issue. And they asked me to help them, and I went and had to create my own list of those surplus properties and also in turn reach out to the Neighborhood Association chairs at all of those properties to make them aware of the situation. So I'm very appreciative of the effort that you have made to detail those properties at one location. I think this transparency that you're adopting will alleviate so many concerns. For instance, if this transparency had been available to my neighbors in Multnomah prior to Freeman, it would have been, I think, a lot smoother, and we would not have had such a potential for contentiousness. Mm-hmm. So thank you for listening to us and adopting many of our suggestions, if not all of those suggestions. The transparency issue, the 90-day delay, the 45-day delay, that's imperative from the Neighborhood Association perspective to be able to organize and to be able to notify. So I'm very appreciative.
You know, Mayor, I'm really I want to just publicly thank Moses Ross and the leadership of the Neighborhood Association. When he said this was a contentious process, he was using a euphemism. This not only sparked a lot of frustration at the neighborhood level, but it spawned a lawsuit and some very tough conversations. And I think the bureaus, in reviewing this matter, realized that we could do better. And the neighborhood had some really terrific suggestions, and we incorporated some of them, and we came to a meeting. We found out we hadn't gone far enough, and we took further feedback. And what we have now is a significantly enhanced policy that addresses the transparency issue and makes sure that all the key stakeholders get the kind of notice they need to be able to help us make the right decision. Yes. We know we're not finished, and we'll continue to work with our friends at the coalitions and the neighborhood level to get it right. But, I mean, this is an example. When we talk about working, doing our best work in partnership with the community, what could be a better example than working with a group that sued us and expressed such displeasure with our work that we actually had to rethink our whole approach, and out of it comes a policy that we think greatly meets the public interest and gives us a chance to get a better outcome.
Absolutely.
So how many times do you get to celebrate that? And so, Moses, we want to thank you for your good work.
Thank you. Thank you for your good work. Appreciate
Thanks very much.
That. Thank you.
Any other questions for the panel? Thank you all. Thank Anyone else that wants to speak on this item?
Mr. Lightning.
Okay. Morning.
My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X1. One of the concerns I've stressed on the surplus properties, in my belief anyway, the public deserves to at least have a independent appraisal done on these properties to determine value. There's a lot of times that I see these properties being almost given away for nothing for the public good. The city is not philanthropist. They cannot be giving away properties when you have debt of over $1 billion in transportation that needs to be addressed, $500 million in parks, $250 million in housing. You don't have anything to give away. You are buried in debt that you have to look at your overall assets and begin to understand you can't give these away at pennies on the dollar. I want to start seeing estimated values of $250,000 or greater to have independent appraisals from outside companies to determine a value. Another issue I have on these surplus properties, I don't think the city is qualified to make these sales. I would like to have an independent brokerage company, maybe Grubb & Ellis, Coldwell Banker, very reputable companies, to sell these properties if it's determined these properties are over $250,000. That separates the city from any conflict of interest, any possible relations with the potential buyer, ex-employee, ex-relative. It separates all those conflicts. We need to have that separation on these type of deals. We need to obtain the fullest possible market price that we can get. This city is in a tremendous amount of debt and needs to take care of the debt, and we cannot allow these existing assets to be given away at low values to certain developers that a lot of the public has stated in here today really was unaware of what was going on. If you had an independent brokerage company handling that, independent appraisals handling that, this will never happen. The brokerage community is worth every dollar that you pay them on these type of transactions, and the reason is why they have the experience over years to get the highest and best price with the largest market base out there that can understand how to talk the language to sell these type of properties when you're dealing in million-plus dollar properties. The public deserves to get full value for these properties. The public deserves to have these properties go back in and begin to pay down some of the debt in these different bureaus. So again, I'm at total disagreement on allowing the city to handle the sales and also have a suspicion on your overall values based upon your estimated values and not legitimate appraisals on these surplus properties. Thank you.
So, Mayor, once again, Lightning has focused in on two of the most important issues in this whole transaction. And so thank you, Lightning. Paragraph 6, sub D of the pilot that's before you requires that when we come to council for permission to surplus, we have an appraisal or other evidence of the market value of the property. And I think our intent is to seek an appraisal where appropriate, and a substantial property would require an appraisal. And if the council does not, I'm going to update them. I think, and if the council doesn't think that that's sufficient, we'll do something beyond that. And in terms of independent brokers, we completely agree with Lightning on this one. And so, for example, Terminal 1, which is a 16-acre property in a prime industrial area, that transaction will be handled by a professional commercial broker. And in fact, we've had a tremendous amount of interest that's been expressed to the broker already because it's highly desirable dirt. And it is precisely to keep that distance between the Bureau and the marketplace. We expect to make a significant premium on that property. And I'd be remiss if I didn't once again acknowledge that during Dan's tenure, there were some decisions that were made to acquire rather than to lease industrial property for the big pipe. And there was some criticism of the city for buying because there was an uncertainty about the future market conditions. It turns out that's like buying Berkshire Hathaway when it first hit the market. These properties are so valuable, and we expect to be able to show tremendous value to ratepayers when we sell Terminal 1 and some other properties. So we agree with both points you made, Lightning, and one is incorporated in the policy, and the other is what we are in practice doing with our substantial properties.
If I respond real fast, sure. The term estimated value is of great concern to me. I want actual appraisals, actual sales comparables, income approaches. I want to see real data, not somebody just throwing in at an estimate. So that's a real concern to me.
The policy says appraisal.
Okay.
So we agree with you on that, and we'll also be notifying counsel of the broker we've selected to handle the transaction, and that will be at a public hearing where you can comment as well.
Okay, one other thing real fast. You said that you might take surplus properties and allow other bureaus to have a say on that property. What I'd like to see, if at all possible, is to take five bureaus, the top bureaus that need the most money, and every sale has gone back into a fund that is equally distributed between the bureaus. Now, I know you can't do that, but I'd like the home charter to be taken a look at and have legal counsel maybe to discuss that to see if that can be done on that type of a surplus property. Because if you can take that property and give it to another bureau, then why can't you take funds and equally distribute it?
Let me be clear.
Okay.
I would be recalled, and we'd have a new lawsuit and another petition drive if we gave it to another bureau. So you've pointed out something important. We're not giving it. All we're doing is giving a city bureau the chance to acquire it at market price.
Right.
And if they don't want to acquire it market price, then it goes. And the reason we're doing that, Lightning, is because Commissioner Fritz may, for example, come and say, I want to add that piece to an existing park. Or Commissioner Novick may come and say, this is part of a master plan for PBOC. But they have to acquire it at market price. We're not transferring as a gift to any bureau.
Based upon an appraisal, and again, that is public money doing that, and the public should have a say on that. And that's my point. Thank you.
No, you made it. Thank you. Okay, anyone else want to speak? Then motion to adopt the report, please.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call.
Fritz. Well, congratulations, Commissioner Fish, for your diligence on this. It is indeed wonderful to see such consensus and good work to the Water Bureau and BES. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you. I want to thank both of my bureaus for the hard work they put into this, and in particular the time they've spent with community members addressing the concerns. In our jobs, sometimes, despite our best efforts, we don't get it right. And we can either just accept that as a fact of life, or we can learn from those missteps and improve what we do. And this is an example where we fell short of community expectations around one piece of property, but it caused us to reevaluate our overall policy, and the result is a much better policy. It's more transparent, it has better accountability measures, and equally important from the ratepayer point of view, is this is likely to result in better prices for the property that we're selling. So I want to thank my team. We look forward to working with the city to look across all bureaus at a more robust surplus property policy. We welcome comments and feedback throughout because this we consider as a pilot, and we don't think this is the final version, but we can always improve. And I want to particularly thank Moses and the Multnomah Neighborhood Association for all the time they spent helping us get it right, or at least better. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, and Multnomah Neighborhood Association, and Bureau of Environmental Services and Water Bureau for giving us a good policy that gives a good framework for moving forward. Thank you. Aye.
Novick.
Really appreciate the hard work of the bureaus and Commissioner Fish and of the Multnomah Neighborhood Association. And I'm particularly pleased that there is now peace between my colleague and my neighbors. Aye.
Hales.
Very nice work. Thank you. Aye. Okay.